Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Well, it is Friday, and it's almost the first day of summer.
Right.
It was like, of course, I was just in Vegas, so definitely it was summer in Vegas at 110
degrees. Oh, my God.
Degrees.
But what, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, even so.
Even the weather.
Even the weather.
Yeah. So I've had an interesting couple of days. So Monday I flew out to Denver and spoke at a conference on Tuesday. Then Wednesday morning I'm in another plane heading to Vegas. And I have to tell this little side story. So I get on, it's Southwest Airlines, of course. You know, you got to line up like cattle. And so I was the first of the C group. So I knew I was going to, like,
you're late in the game there.
Yeah, I really messed up there. But, so I get on the plane. There's still actually enough places to put my bag. And I turn around, I look, and there's a seat with two pilots in it, one by the window, one in the aisle. I thought, well, what could be safer than sitting between two airline pilots on this flight? And they said, well, you know, we might have to leave. If it's a full flight, we have to sit in those jumper seats. So I'm like, okay. And chatting with them, talking about why I was going to Vegas, that I built a simulator. And I said, actually, I've been in the Southwest Airlines pilot flight simulator.
Whoa!
Yeah. I mean, just these things are massive. They're $10 million a piece. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, it scared me to death. And I go, yeah, it scares us, too. I'm like, well... But eventually they got called up front.
You never have a good flight day in the simulator.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. So they,
right?
The flight attendant called them up. They said, okay, our pilots that are sitting, you know, you're going to have to sit in the jumper seats. They're like, okay, sorry, we have to leave you. And this couple that sits in the seats with me, I said to them, you just ruined one of my fantasies. And the woman sitting behind me starts to chuckle because they kind of look at me funny like, what? I mean, come on, you could have all kinds of fantasies sitting between these two airline pilots.
I love that you did not keep that to yourself.
I thought, I don't care. I've been traveling. I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm sure everybody
right.
else thought it too.
Of course.
So anyway, So there was an assignment that I was working on this morning that's coming up for a project that we're working on, and one of them's creating a video tutorial to teach people how to create a video library. So I thought we could talk about that today as far as what are there different ways out there today, because video is just so prominent everywhere, and it's so easy. And you know, I mean, look at everything in the news. People are taking videos of everything.
Right.
Obviously. Not necessarily knowing what to do with that video other than, you know, use it for harm or, you know, turning police in for whatever. Mm-hmm. That being said, so now that people can make videos so easily, especially in the training world, I think the biggest challenge some people have is, A, how do I get it off my phone? B, where do I put that? And C, how do I put it in a format that gives other people access to it?
Absolutely.
So I thought we could, you know, look to see if there are any tools out there today other than the ones that we're, you know, used to using in a common format, such as if you've
YouTube.
Got SharePoint, you can put in SharePoint. YouTube is a kind of the no-brainer one. But, you know, some of the other options we were talking about was create a Dropbox folder where you could put the videos in that makes them accessible. So
sure.
I thought, well, maybe, and other than Facebook, of course, you know, but let's say these are more private, proprietary types of content. Other than, let's say you're a trainer, you don't want to have to go through IT, you know, to get permission to create some kind of web page where you can post this, because then, of course, they're going to ask all kinds of questions like, how big is it? How many people are going to be accessing it? Are they going to be downloading it versus streaming it? And so I thought, well, why don't we look into different streaming and hosting services that maybe a trainer could use that are either low cost or what other options they might have from a behind-the-firewall aspect. So I don't know if you've run into any recent examples in your experience with some of your other customers.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I've found is just a great tool, especially for an industry kind of side of thing, and you can really restrict who's got access to it, especially if you go up to a pro version of it, but it's Vimeo. Are you familiar with Vimeo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you made a funny sound. You don't care for Vimeo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably one of the more well-known ones, I would say, because I'm trying to think who I was comparing them to one day, because there's different levels and different fee structures for that, and then I was trying to figure out, because it does, and plus the other thing you want to look at, too, is does it give you the option to download versus streaming only?
Right.
And
whether
I believe
you want
Vimeo
to do that
does.
Or not. Yeah, yeah,
right.
It does. There's a checkbox. Yeah. Very. And
yeah.
That's in the cheapest one, the free thing, which I have to say is like 50 gigs. Hello. That's a lot
mm-hmm.
of space for free. Amazing.
Yeah. So I just Googled options for hosting private videos. And, of course, these are the paid ones that pop up right away. Vimeo was number two, but number one was this Firehost.com.
Oh, I don't know Firehost.
I'm not familiar with it. So it's a cloud, well, it's cloud services. So they're probably just, they can host anything. So I'm sure that's why it came up. So that's not exactly what I was looking for. Now, there's another one I have seen before, Sprout Video. Have you seen that?
No. Tell me more about Sprout.
So Sprout Video is, yeah, so looking for a secure video hosting provider for your business. Look no further. Gets complete control over your access, who accesses it online, can create individual viewer logins for each video, track when they were watched. So to me, this is kind of an interesting option because I know Vimeo does track too. They do start out with, they're not totally free. They do have a free 14-day trial, but you can just for $25 a month, you get 50 gigabytes of bandwidth, 100 gigabytes of storage. And all features except engagement metrics, but everything else as far as tracking, you know, if somebody accessed the video and whatnot. I think you can have it most, to see how much storage and bandwidth we need, estimate your monthly usage. Oh, they even have this cute little calculator that says, okay, if I'm going to have, let's do 200 videos. Go crazy. 200.
Wow,
okay, 199. And your average length is?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah. Video plays per month, we'll say like 5,000-ish. Okay, we estimate you'll need 227 gigabytes of bandwidth and 18
wow.
gigabytes of storage. So that puts you still within the $25 a month range.
Wow.
So, I mean, so you're going to have a ton of video to go outside kind of that average user base that I would think. So I think Sprout Video looks actually like a pretty nice, reasonable option for people that want to have more private viewing but trackable type stuff.
Right.
There's another one also called ustudio.com. And let's see what it says here. Private video hosting solutions for ustudio. So U is the letter U, not the word U. Take the tour. So Kohl's is using this, it looks like, some of their customers. I'm just going to go to ustudio.com because I'm stuck on some landing page that won't let me get all their other options.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
No. Okay, so do more with video solutions for the modern business. does not give me price. But it does look like this is very corporate-ish based, just from the testimonials that I'm seeing here, how to share the video, video production and management. I'm just trying to see if they have a look. They're in Austin, which I was just in Austin last week. I sure get around. I don't see where they have a customer list. But so just go to ustudio.com if you're curious about their platform. It looks great. Looks fine. But I don't like when they don't put pricing because, you know, that's exactly what everybody's going to ask.
Right.
But I think they also offer a couple other more, corporate learning types of features to what they provide, so it's probably why it's a little bit more expensive, I would guess. But the other side of this, too, is, all right, let's say I find a resource. The other things you have to know about the video that you're wanting to host is, number one, who's going to look at it, and on what devices are they looking at it on? So I think sometimes people don't think about that, but today I will have to say video has gotten better and better about just being synonymous across all platforms, because it used to be back in the days you'd only have Flash,
right,
or AVI or MP3s, or not MP3s, WMVs. And so, you know, educate yourself about the video content that you're hosting, what file type that is, and what devices are able to view that type. Because last night I was on the plane, and I love Southwest Airlines, which, by the way, I watched the
free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi, and I watched the entire Blackhawks game on the plane when they won the Stanley Cup. And the whole
that
plane's going
is
like, wah!
Sweet, because everybody was watching it.
Yeah, because we all flew out from Chicago the day of the last game, or what we didn't know was going to be the last game. And so luckily, you know, I'm sitting next to a guy that's from Illinois, and people across the aisle were sitting watching it. But I had to use my Firefox browser.
Why was
Chrome
that?
Chrome wouldn't play it. Chrome wouldn't play it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, Google. What's up with that, Google?
Uh-huh. And then I last night was, again, back on Southwest watching TV on my Firefox browser. I thought, oh, no problem. I have my Kindle Fire, so when my battery runs out on my computer, I'll just open up my Kindle and watch it from there.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
What?
Yeah, I
What's
had
up,
to install
Amazon?
A special player. Yeah, yeah. Again, I could hear it. I could play the music tracks for their music library, but I could not see the video.
Wow.
So now I have to install some kind of special Kindle video player or the Firefox browser in Kindle, which I think is really odd that it would even allow that, but that's the option I was getting, but I wasn't fully connected to the internet. So you really need to think about what are the devices. So you would think, okay, here I am, I've got all these devices, and, you know, everybody's using Chrome these days, but nope. So something in that video format that's coming through that live TV stream on Southwest Airlines wouldn't play.
Something's blocking something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So you got to think about
Southwest?
What's up,
who can
man?
I yell
so
at
you
again? They're all really big companies.
Big dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. So that was one thing that took me a little surprised. I thought, why isn't this working? Why, you know, I thought it was just my computer was slow. I thought,
right,
let me try another browser. And so by the time I got it working, I missed the first, almost the whole first half or first
what?
Period. It's fine, yeah. But I could hear the other people, like, they scored! I'm like, no!
Stop it!
Got it. Must get on, must watch game.
That is so funny and yet aggravating all in one.
Right. So you can, you know, just to clear things up for our listeners, you can, YouTube's probably the easiest way to do this, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, email.
I think that's, Vimeo is pretty simple too. The thing I think you just want to be careful of is knowing that the material that you're sharing, that you have the actual rights to use it.
Right.
So if it's your stuff, that's no big deal. But I know Vimeo gets a little touchy about that kind of stuff, especially contact information, that kind of thing. They don't really like that kind of stuff either in their free version, at least.
But let's just say I'm Joe User. Take the video. I have my device. What do I do with it? My options are, you know, either email it to myself, put it somewhere else, right? But if you, let me see if I, oh, shoot, I just took a picture of my leg.
what?
I was holding my camera.
The show went a major left turn all of a sudden. What?
Yeah, so, my leg. I just took a picture of my leg.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's a nice leg.
I don't have
it.
So you should have built into your options to either put it into Google Hangouts, your Drive. So I'm on an Android phone, obviously.
I was going to say.
You can tweet it. You can tweet it. You can put it on Facebook. So I don't see. Plus, there are apps that let you edit your video before posting it. So, you know,
yes.
You might take some time to research those, so like cropping or maybe adding text and descriptions.
Titles,
some have templates, titles. Yeah, yep.
iMovie is great
so,
for that.
Yeah, yeah. But then decide, okay, do I just want to email it to myself and from there I'll put it into YouTube or Vimeo or wherever. You know, I'm surprised I don't see a YouTube option. I bet there is.
Well, you also might go to Box or Drop because some of those people have a nice option where you can move your stuff directly from there.
Right.
Also.
Right. Exactly. So look at your device that you're using for your camera. Look to see what your options are. And if you don't see the option you want, let's say you want YouTube or you want Vimeo, I would say if you just Google apps for loading video into whatever, you'll probably find something. I'm sure somebody has created that. And I would say shorter would be better, but you can also use your, let's say you have an iPad or a Kindle or a newer laptop. They all have built-in cameras. So if you just want to, like, videotape yourself saying something, I've seen that quite a bit on YouTube. If you know, we want to give somebody pointers on something, or maybe you're reviewing products, there's a lot of video blogs out there where people are reviewing products that are getting extremely popular.
It's awesome.
And they're just sitting,
I've done that with microphones, listening to somebody A
and
B microphones and the same stuff, and it's great.
Or
you can
use Google
this?
Hangouts.
How to check your dehumidifier for a filter and do some basic maintenance. Use that
you
as
could.
Well. Thank you, YouTube.
You could do that, yes. And, so it could be your camera on your phone. It could be your camera on another device. And then again, of course, if you want to edit it, there's lots of cheap little tools out there that let you clean it up, and then you post it wherever you want.
Right.
It is interesting to see that there are, I was listening to the Nerdist podcast, and they were interviewing a young woman that has grown in popularity with her video blog on YouTube. She's now getting her own TV show, like where she reviews stuff. Yeah, I forget her name, but
she
has
so great.
Grown such a following. Yeah, I know. And just the way that she did it, she's very matter-of-fact. She's very, you know, she's obviously an attractive person. But then she went to something like Comic-Con, but now it's for videos on YouTube. Like the people that have created either scripted shows or people that have these reviewed shows, and they're all kind of just, you know, regular people. It's kind of like a Comic-Con for video people now. And I didn't know that was even a thing, but I guess it's a growing popularity. And he said, but what these places don't know, I think it was Javits Center in New York, there are some people that were there as guests that are huge followers of these teeny boppers. And so the security was not prepared at all to just have these swarms of, like, crazy young girls, you know, going into these places and just kind of massively taking it over and stampeding the place.
Right.
And so they were like, maybe we should inform them of kind of what people are here that's going to be to see these people, even though they may have never heard of them and may not think they're popular. Well, guess what? There's this weird cult following, and you better be prepared.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, in this day and age, there's no excuse to not know what you're coming into without, if you just take a little bit of time and Google somebody and see what's going on with them.
See what's going on. Exactly. So, I would say, you know, again, going back to the content creation side, that's the easy part. It's just then deciding, okay, now my intended audience, what are their expectations around quality? Is this something that you're trying to build as a regular show? Then you might want to create several to have in the can so that if you're posting them using some kind of scheduling tool or scheduling links to them, you know, people have gotten away from the podcasting scenario somewhat, but it's I think it's easier to create subscribable content than it was 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, especially if you could be posting them in your own WordPress site. WordPress has lots of plugins that let people subscribe to your content. You can certainly repost that in iTunes or something like that where other people can subscribe to it as well. I don't think you have as much control over the analytics in iTunes as you would in WordPress or some of these other tools that we talked about earlier. Because that's actually, it's really important. You kind of want to know, all right, who is accessing my content and how are they getting here and what kind of traffic is coming in to access this. So, you know, again, depending upon, is it for training? Is it to build a presence, your presence around a certain work of knowledge? Is it to be more entertainment value-based? Is it to be something that you think is going to be more collaborative where you want people to then type in topics that they want to hear you kind of go out and present information on? You know, so are you encouraging people to make comments? I know I've been watching a yoga video, the same yoga instructor on YouTube, and I don't know, I haven't looked to see the date of some of these videos that she's on, because sometimes she'll say, hey, some of you may notice I changed my hair. So just type in comments if you like my hair this way or the other way. And I'm just thinking, well, that's a challenge if you're, you know, I'm watching this 2 years later. Who knows what's gone on. Right. So you have to be kind of careful if you're cleaning stuff up or archiving things so that people know it is actually older archived content versus current content. And the discussions that people are having, are they current or to an archived type of content? So there's a lot to be, a lot of thought that has to be put into just beyond the creation of the content. It's the whole distribution, management, tracking.
Tagging.
Yep.
How are they going to find
very important.
Whether you choose to build a channel with your videos there in a channel or not. I think it's easy to get, you can jump into the water, but really thinking it through can be really helpful. And some of that planning, don't you think, Nancy, is looking at other people's stuff, seeing what you like as a consumer. Hey, this worked for me really well. How'd they do that? This was really seamless. How'd they do that? This was unobtrusive. How'd they do that? Those are all words I think you want when you're asking people to come look at your information, and whether or not you want comments or not. And the other thing that always, I think, we found this out when working with clients that did a lot of flash animation, which I know is certainly going the way of the dodo, but is the fact that building in things like you were talking about that have to do with specific times and periods, if the content itself isn't going to change a whole lot, then let's try to keep things as broad as possible when talking about things that are unrelated to it, like, the time of year, the season, that kind of thing, because
news stories,
that may cause
a
little trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. If you mention, like, today was XYZ holiday, like we talked about the Chicago Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup.
Of course.
This will be dated. This will be dated.
Right, but we planned
it
that way.
Yeah, sure we did, of course.
Yeah, we did.
But, I would say maybe even just start by mapping out topics, maybe scheduling times that you're going to, put a schedule together so that you can do that. Maybe put a little research into it and have much more, put a little thought in the production of it. If you're going to be interviewing people in your video, you certainly want to have that lined up as far as scheduling time with them, letting them know when it will be published, getting their permission, you know, building in a review time, because maybe after they've seen it, they're like, oh, there's no way I'm letting you put this out there for everybody to see.
Right.
So you have to build in all of those kind of back and forth review times around any content that includes somebody besides yourself. So just think about that when you're putting these things together, because, again, what's the purpose? Is it to display that you're an expert in a certain thing? Is it to build a list of knowledge around a certain product or service that your company offers? Or is it to give people job aids that you're building for them? You know, so you really have to kind of decide what's the purpose, and then where's that content going to live? What other reinforcement communication things do I want in there? And do you want to use a tool that then lets you push it out to social media like Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and some of those other ones too?
Sure.
Because, you know, Pinterest is becoming quite the search engine itself too.
It is. It's a much more quick virtual kind of, yeah, it's fascinating how that's being used by the kids of today.
The kids.
The kids of today.
Yeah, that would...
Twitter's too many characters. Let's just go with images.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to see if there's anything else that comes out that's more visual based, other than Snapchat, of course. That's I would stay away from Snapchat, by the way. That's not what I would use.
Right.
Not for the purposes of what we're talking about today, but, you know, it's used in its own unique way. But, you know, there's just tons of video out there, like sharing videos from your phone. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 YouTube videos that I just pulled up instantly. 5 simple ways to upload and share videos from your phone. Share pictures and videos. So there's all kinds of ways around this. It's just, you know, back to who is your intended audience, how are they going to access it, how do you want them to consume it, and use
right.
that as your benchmark. So I think that's pretty much it for today. I mean, I think we've hit the highlights of this topic.
Absolutely.
And we're running low on time anyway, so
wow.
You know, I don't think we need to belabor the
I think we did a good show, Nancy.
I think so too. So on that note, thank you, Allison, for joining me, and join us next week for another episode of Training Tech Talk.
If it's Friday, it's Training Tech Talk.
Right.